We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Friday edition, Fesco in the morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler. Ryan Witkowski producing today. We'll do our Chiefs roundtable coming up at 9:15. Alex Gold from Cody and Gold will join us, and Jay Binkley from a lot of programs on 610 Sports Radio.
He's the all-encompassing Jay Binkley.
I don't even know how to describe Bink. He's everywhere.
Lover of football.
Everywhere you need him, there's Binkley.
Best actually, employee. A lot of places you don't even need him.
Yeah,
they want him.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah,
that's true.
He's our favorite. He's right there.
Everybody loves him.
He's already here.
You see how low that chair is that he's sitting in? What's up with that?
God. It's like his head is under the desk.
May as well be sitting crisscross on the floor.
Wow.
So they'll join us coming up in about 10 minutes as part of this week's Chiefs Roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Tigers plus +3 tees off later this afternoon too.
Okay,
so Tiger's got some work to do. Gary Woodland, now plus +8.
Ooh, that is not good.
I don't think he's gonna make the cut.
Struggling.
The U.S. Open.
That's a very difficult course.
Chiefs and Chargers coming up on Sunday, 3:25 the kickoff on 106.5 The Wolf. Chiefs have dominated this series with the Chargers as of late, winning 11 of the last 12. So let's do a little Chiefs win if.
All right.
Brought to you by Olathe Ford Lincoln. I'll say the Chiefs win if Chris Jones gets two or more sacks. I am looking at him attacking the middle of this offensive line. Mike Pouncey is out, done for the season. They're going to have to slide. It looks like a guard over to play center and then someone else. You got some flux on the interior of your offensive line. Chris Jones, go get him.
Chris Jones will go get him, yeah.
That picture of that guard that they were sliding over.
Did you like that? I said that?
Mustache? What is
this? He owns a windowless van for sure.
Yeah. He is creepy looking.
He's living in the Walmart parking lot in the RV.
No, you see that guy in the Walmart parking lot, you're calling the cops.
Yeah, this guy.
I'd like to report a suspicious vehicle.
Yeah, this guy's got a mustache and a mullet, man.
He's got a bag of candy and a box of puppies, and he looks like he's up to no good.
What's going on out here? For me, the Chiefs will win if they score 30 or more points. The Chiefs PR department does a great job of putting these like ultimate Andy Reid stats together. Andy Reid as a head football coach is 95-16 when his team scores 30 or more points. Pretty much a lock to win. So if you score 30 or more, the Chiefs are going to win this thing.
Bob's using a little history there, Ryan.
Oh, wow. He's also letting the Chiefs do his homework.
That's right.
So you let Joe do your survivor picks. You let Josh at Smokehouse make your fantasy picks.
Correct.
And you're letting the Chiefs do your Chiefs win if
there's
picks.
A saying, work smarter, not harder.
Hmm. Okay, I mean, I guess that's one way to look at it. I think the Chiefs win if they get one interception. That's it. That's all they have to do. I did some homework, Bob.
So you looked at the game notes, too.
I did not. I was this in the game notes? I didn't know. Tyrod Taylor, 4-13-1. When he throws one or more interceptions.
What's his record without an interception?
I didn't even bother to note. Okay. 4-13-1.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions.
He had one game he threw like three of them. Most of the games, like, he only throws one pick. That's an insane stat to me. Like, just the fact that it's a swing that much, and it took a while before I got to a game where they actually won when he threw an interception. It is nuts. 4-13-1. You get one interception, I think you hand him a 14th loss.
Chiefs win if Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes over 150 all-purpose yards.
All-purpose.
I'm
going to
say all-purpose right. This week. I want to see the screen game this week. Counteract their pass rush. Mm-hmm. Counteract Bosa and Ingram by getting CEH involved in the screen game this week.
Do you have like some inside information from being the front row reporter?
No, I don't. No. This is a personal want to.
Okay, I want that too.
I want to see the screen game.
After seeing Saquon in the screen game on Monday night, I want to see.
And
our
I think
guy.
It can be effective against them trying to harass the quarterback.
Yeah. I think if you lead after the first 30 minutes, you win. Andy Reid, 171-32 with a halftime lead. Get a lead at halftime. Game over.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. We had a little discussion about the pressures the Chiefs were putting on the quarterback last week, Deshaun Watson. I think he's better at escaping the pocket than Tyrod Taylor, but both very, very adept at doing that. I think if the Chiefs continue to apply pressure, it doesn't even need to be sacks, but last week we talked about the 8 quarterback hits that Deshaun Watson took. I think that if you getting to the quarterback, let's say, just to give a good number to it, 3 sacks and 5 quarterback hits, Chiefs are going to walk away with a victory.
Chiefs lose if.
Not happening. And that's the segment.
And scene.
Chiefs lose if the Chargers don't turn it over. The Chiefs have multiple turnovers. And the Chargers end up like controlling the clock and rushing for like 175 plus. So they if they do those types of things, like they don't turn it over, Chiefs do, and they run the football, control the clock, they win. Not going to be easy to do.
No, I think the Chiefs will lose if we're talking about the defensive backs on Monday morning. Like, oh man, Snead got burnt. Oh my, Ward got burnt. Like, if we're talking about those guys on Monday morning and they become a big focal point of the game, the Chiefs will probably lose. And if they give up 150 yards or more rushing, Chiefs will lose that game.
I was really struggling to find the Chiefs lose.
I know,
if guys.
I know.
I'm with you as well. But I'll just say, you remember, it was last season where the Chiefs had to play the Green Bay Packers. I believe that was the Matt Moore game as well.
Right.
But I didn't chalk that up for the reason for them losing, right? Because they handled the Vikings, came down to a field goal. But still, Matt Moore was capable of doing it. What the biggest problem was is that Aaron Jones went ham on you. It was like 170 yards he had out of the backfield, had a pair of touchdowns as well. I think the Chargers have running backs that are capable of doing that type of thing to you. So if the Chargers running backs are a big part of that passing game, let's just say over 100 yards receiving combined for their backs, the Chiefs have a chance to actually get a little. They're not going to lose, but it might be a closer game than they want it to be.
That is the Chiefs win if, brought to you by Olathe Ford Lincoln. Our Chiefs roundtable. Alex Gold, Jay Binkley will join us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I'm going to just say this, and I've said this before. He's a competitive prick, okay? We love the attitude and the determined mindset that he brings to our room, okay? He's a guy that wants to brawl each and every play. But on top of that, I mean, he's just a tough guy. He understands the dynamics of our O-line room, and he brings that chemistry together, and he just brings that brute force with him when he's out there and playing. And he wants the ball to be ran behind him. But also, he understands exactly how we're going to go about doing this. We want to make sure that we're playing smart, we're playing hard, we're playing fast, but more importantly, that we're being accountable and we're not doing anything that's going to keep us from accomplishing our goals. But what a great kid. Love everything that he brings to the table. And I think he's just been a great addition.
Eric Bieniemy, Chiefs offensive coordinator on Kelechi Osemele, the Chiefs offensive lineman. We apparently know the buzzword that gets the OC's attention. Time for the Chiefs roundtable, brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Alex Gold from Cody and Gold joining us, and Jay Binkley from all things 610 Sports Radio. I don't know how to describe you anymore. You're everywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere you look, there's Bink.
There's Bink.
Talking football, I'll be there.
Join us in studio. The competitive P that is Jay Binkley here
That's
with
right.
us in studio.
Today.
He's just a regular prick.
Wow. That was Ryan.
That is.
Very nice.
Very mean, man. How much, though, have you seen out of KO already, Bink, with the nastiness that he brings? That's the buzzword surrounding this guy now.
You've seen a lot of it. And I remember when the Chiefs brought him in, it kind of reminded me shades of Dayton Moore over at Kauffman Stadium, you know, bringing in a guy that anybody else could have had, you know, like Trevor Rosenthal this year and Ryan Madsen. We've seen what he does. And KO is one of these guys that, you know, had surgery with his own doctors last year with the Jets, not with the Jets. But you're talking about a guy that was former NFL top 100. You're talking about a guy that has a Super Bowl ring on his finger. You know, the rest of these guys have Super Bowls from the Chiefs, but he has one from the Ravens. So it's, once again, it's that champion pedigree, and it's Brett Veach finding a guy to fit the system. But he brings that touch of nastiness. And not to say that Eric Fisher doesn't have it from time to time. Mitch Schwartz is more about technique. Mm-hmm. And I know LDT showed some signs of it. But the Chiefs, some people say, hey, it's a finesse offense. It's soft. It's, you know, they score a lot of points. But KO brings that nasty. I was talking about him a little bit on the post game last week that if you watch, and I'll never forget what he did to Tamba. I mean, when he was with the Raiders, just complete pancake. I mean, you have to have your head on the swivel at all times or he will crush you. And I think he brings that touch of nastiness to this offensive line. So the whole finesse, and you got to watch Chiefs. No, they'll play you to the whistle. And he's been a great addition for the Chiefs.
Joe Mays told us the other day, Josh, I know it was Joe Mays, where he said they haven't had a guy this nasty since the days of Brian Waters on the offensive line. And that's a long time since Brian Waters. It's almost a decade now since Brian Waters played here. But just to have that nastiness up there, and it really is now starting to, I think, translate across the entire offensive line. I was on a podcast with Frosty Rucker, former NFL player, played with Kalichio Semele and played against him as well. And he goes, that guy solidifies the whole thing. I think at the end of the year, fellas, we're going to be talking about him in the same breath as Mike Pinnell. Like, where would we have been without this guy?
I could see that. I could definitely see that happening. It's, you know, the difference. One was in season, one was off season. But overall, just the importance of the player, someone you never would have thought would be a difference maker. I think you guys had Mitch on not this week, but a couple weeks ago when he was talking about KO, who now KO, we all know who he is. But
right. We're calling the dude KO.
Yeah, before, yeah. Who would have thought that? But he mentioned that he might be the key to this team going forward as well. So I think, yeah, that definitely is a possibility when it comes to a similar.
That's one of those guys that was like mentioned by the team. You're like, oh, watch out. If he's healthy. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. But nobody saw him, right? Nobody.
Correct.
That was our first instance to actually see him in a game. And yeah, what a great, like, under the radar scoop up of a guy that, as you mentioned, Bink,
sure,
was available out there. Kind of went, you know,
it's weird. He
went his own way, kind of went rogue. And maybe a lot of teams went, oh, I don't want that.
But it gives
that
the defense
guy,
something
Chiefs
else to think about. Not only are they worried about Mahomes and now Clyde and Tyreek and Travis Kelce, but now the defensive line, hey, they got somebody nasty. We better watch and head on the swivel. And I think even Bienemy said the head on the swivel because he will look to hurt you, and that's something they really need.
I like it. I like that aspect.
I do too. I think it's something
I like
that
KO.
Is
I mean, that's perfect.
And KO, he just knocks you out
when you're going after people.
You want to watch the NFL Top 100 from him from like 2017? Just to
how many times have you watched it?
A lot.
Yeah,
but I watched it before I go to bed. You know, but to get to hear the praise that the opponents kind of praise him with.
Yeah,
the kind of nastiness he has. I mean, all across the league, guys talking about, you know, look out for this guy, and it's a great addition.
It's a cyclone. I remember that they said that about him too.
Oh yeah, Big 12 baby.
Not really in the Big 12. Alex, you guys talked with Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday, and I'm kind of excited to see. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think this could be a week where it would be smart if it happened. I want to see him catch passes now.
Yeah, we heard
like
all about.
I'm like, I want to see the screen game now.
It lined up at wide receiver. We heard so much that he'd be lined up at wide receiver at times. You think it's this week? See, I think they hold off one more week for the Ravens. You believe that it happens this week, so now the Ravens have to see both looks. Is that what you're going with?
Just because seems I was like wondering, the next progression.
It is. I just wondered if it's, you know, that balance of how much are you holding back for the Ravens?
It
what do you need to
the
show?
Pass rush though, as well. You know, you have those guys screaming in.
But with Andy, there's always something else. I mean, it's not like Andy's got, like, you know, 10 plays, and once you run them, then that's it.
Sure.
Like, there's
and with their screen game,
so much
run it for years, and it's just like, oh, you got to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming. What are you going to do about it? That seems to me part of their offense where they're like, we're going to do it. It's just a matter of can you stop it or not.
Well, that's the Chiefs. It's constantly adjusting to what the defense gives you. Remember last year, through the six games, the Chiefs had six different leading receivers.
Yep.
Even Byron Pringle thrown into that mix and McCole Hardman. Then all of a sudden there was a stretch for like five or six games where it was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Nobody else, you know, was led the Chiefs in receiving besides Hill and Kelce. But the first six games was six different names. It's like the old baseball game you play, pick the click. Who's going to be the guy this week? So I think I may put it out there Sunday, you know, who's going to lead the Chiefs in receiving. It's going to be somebody different all the time. Whoever the defense takes away, that'll be the person. And there's going to be games where Clyde has 9 or 10 catches, I truly do believe. But who's going to be that guy for the Chiefs this week?
Well,
it's constant adjustments.
I mean, you saw it right from the get-go last week. DeMarcus Robinson was their number one target last week. I mean, that was the guy that they wanted to go to, and he was open, and you know he should have caught that one in the end zone, obviously. But the one thing you take away from that is even that cat's got speed, man. Like, watching him run by the defensive backs against the Houston Texans, like, wow. Not only do they have Hill and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman with speed, now you mix in DeMarcus Robinson with speed as well. Like, if you're a defense, you might as well just quit.
It was a balance, T. They ran the ball 34 times. They threw it 32. I mean, that is pretty much splitting it down the middle between being a balanced offense.
So I want the screen game. Like a weird, you know, like a weird personal want. Anything you guys want to see out of the offense this week?
Offensively, I'm curious where the carry number is for Clyde this week. Maybe that's where it cuts into the passing game that you bring up. I'd be stunned if he's at 25 carries again 2 weeks in a row. I don't think any of us would have guessed last week he would have had 25 carries in his rookie debut. I'll get to the defense, I guess, on the other side, because I think defensively there's a couple things I'll be really interested to see this week that maybe didn't happen a week ago.
I want to see Clyde get 20 to 25 carries. I think he will. I think he's in that wheelhouse now where he'll carry the ball for the Kansas City Chiefs quite a bit. I'm going to say they're going to be run heavy the whole time, but I do expect a nice dose as the Bengals able to run against the Chargers last week.
It's our Chiefs Roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Alex Gold from Cody and Gold and Jay Binkley from Rush the Field from the Chiefs Post. He does everything. They're continuing in studio with us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I thought he did a great job of whatever he was picking up. If not, listen, pass rush and D-line is all about get off, especially on third down or those passing situations. And I watched Frank yesterday work on that off to the side while we were doing one-on-one against the O-lineman. And it wasn't even one of his reps. He was over there working get off. So I think he realizes how important that is. And I agree with you. He looked pretty good at it last week.
Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator on the great get off of Frank Clark. It's our Chiefs roundtable. Alex Gold, Cody and Gold, Jay Binkley, who will have our post game coverage right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs following the game on Sunday. Join us for the Chiefs Roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Now, Fesco's been talking about it all week. Like, Frank Clark just looks fast.
I mean, when you can see a guy that fast on TV, that tells you that dude is fast. And Thursday night last week, whoo! Like Frank Clark, man, like he just looked like Haley's Comet out there.
It was noticeable, and we know that he had the neck injury. We didn't know at the time last year, the first, 8-9 weeks of the season, and it clearly seems to be healthy first and foremost. Is it as simple as that for him? I know you heard Spags there talking about what he's been working on and everything, but man, it was noticeable, him and Chris Jones too.
And you know, Jay, I said to a lot of people, whoever listens, right, that I haven't seen a guy get off the ball that fast since Derek Thomas in Kansas City. Somebody tried to tell me, what about Tom Bahali? And I'm like, man, I don't know if he was as fast as Derek Thomas was getting off the ball. But this guy, Frank Clark, right now, to me, is getting off the ball faster than anybody we've seen since DT.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. Of course, DT was just the fastest that I've ever seen. I mean, he could guess the snap count. Unbelievable. The pressure the Chiefs were putting on the quarterback, 4 sacks in the game, could have easily been 8 sacks in that game. Deshaun Watson a little more elusive than what they're going to see. They're going to have some big-time sack numbers, and they're going to need to, too. With the secondary kind of banged up and Charvarius Ward, they're going to need to get to the quarterback. But Frank Clark was a guy on the Therese Paylor show Monday night. I mean, Therese says, you know, Frank Clark could be the possibly be the defensive MVP, and then he said it again with the drive. I mean, he doubled down on it, that Frank Clark is that good. And I look at last year, and I was kind of preaching patience with him. He wasn't right, wasn't 100% healthy. And I think that game in New England where he was on the plane, wasn't supposed to maybe play that week.
Yeah.
And he gutted out and play. And I think that went a long way. I think it went a long way for Frank. Of course, he talks the talk and then he walked the walk. He's extremely confident individual. But I think that New England game was kind of the turning point for Frank Clark and kind of what he could do with this team and kind of that locker room. I mean, to a man, this guy wasn't even going to play that game. You know, stomach hurt all the way out to New England, but still found a way to get it out and play it. But you're right, Bob. I mean, his snap count, the way he gets off the ball, gives offensive linemen the other team fits.
He wasn't that fast last year getting off the ball. He was not that fast.
Ailment. I mean, there's a lot of things that were kind of hampering
him.
Wrong,
but opening night against the Texans, I mean, it was incredibly fast.
I saw flashes of it in training camp up in St. Joe. Like, man, this guy's really got it. But then, you know, the injuries and everything happened. And even, you know, self-admitted that wasn't 100% healthy. But I do think that affected him in the beginning.
Maybe it was all the anticipation that made him get off quickly.
Could have been, yeah.
The beauty of a new defense. I think, you know, not knowing who do you trust. You know, they're all getting used to Spags. Mm-hmm. They're all getting used to one another. You can play faster when you know everybody's got you and you know what your role is and go. So I think that gives you the opportunity to really turn out the Jets too.
And to your point there, which is why when everybody was wondering where this defense would be to start the season, would it be more like the back end of the season or the beginning? And you figured that it was a lot easier for them to pick up where they left off from a year ago because they're not having to learn everything, whether it's trust, they're not having to learn everything from Spags as well.
Now, what did you want to see?
Yeah, Willie Gay Jr., that's the answer. Yeah, I mean, we saw the linebacking unit against the Texans. If there was one weak spot, certainly that was the area, whether it was Ben Neiman, who I know they had talked up being more athletic than people perceive, but we saw Ben Neiman and also some issues with Anthony Hitchens. And so I would like, just to see Willie Gay Jr. get on the football field more. And I wonder if this is a week where we see it because of his athleticism and you've got the running backs in Austin Eckler and Jonathan Kelly that exist over there in L.A. with the Chargers and the screen game that they're going to maybe want to run as well. So Willie Gay Jr. is who I still think nobody else has the athleticism.
The problem with Willie Gay Jr., though, is what Ty told us. He goes, he doesn't really know what he's doing out there, but, man, he flies around.
He plays at 100 miles an hour, but you might not be running the right way.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, he maybe he's supposed to be going right, but he's going left, and it's 100 miles an hour. But
who's more assignment sound at this point? Probably
Anthony
Ben
Hitchens.
Neiman.
Expect more from him. He did get 16 snaps on special teams. We're not talking about a guy that was, you know, kind of buried and inactive for the game. He was active and did play 16 snaps on special teams. That is significant. That is easing your way into the NFL, and it's not going to be easy for all rookies. We know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clyde is certainly setting the bar of what rookies can do,
sure.
But not everybody's Clyde. I mean, the offense he came from, very pro-oriented offense at LSU. Joe Brady is offensive coordinator now in Carolina, but Willie Gay did get the 16 snaps on special teams, so I expect really by week 4 or 5, you'll start seeing him sprinkled in a lot more
offensively. And I think we will, too, and I think you have the benefit right now. Anthony Hitchens is really sound. I mean, I think a lot of people look at him and go, ugh, they paid too much money or whatever for him, but he is still very sound at that position, and Willie Gay Jr. has
second
the benefit.
Second leading tackler, I think, again last week.
Leading tackler in the NFL. It's 2 years ago.
So Willie Gay Jr. has the benefit of not having to be the guy right away. He's got the opportunity to learn a little bit. Midseason, he takes over. I think he is going to be really good, though. Like, I'm excited to watch his career here in Kansas City because I think he's going to be a hell of a football player.
I know it's a geeky stat, but he did have the highest rating against in pass coverage in college. He was of all the linebackers that came out of the draft last year, he was number one as far as efficiency covering the receiver out of the backfield of all the linebackers in college last year.
Did you just make that up?
So, no, I didn't, but he's got it there. I could have, but I didn't.
Could have, and I'm like,
sure.
Still,
I mean, literally, nobody's going to fact check him, so he's just roll with it.
That's where it's going with that one.
Mono roll, man.
I felt like, for the most part, Chiefs and Ravens, and then a bunch of hot garbage. The AFC. I wasn't very impressed with the AFC thus far. Anybody?
No, I'm because with you.
Because I'm with you as well. Yeah, even the Patriots, for example, is that something they can do consistently? One, they were going up against the Dolphins, but it's not like Cam Newton look that great passing the football. We know what kind of quarterback he is. Can he and the Patriots play that style all season long? That's what Cam Newton is, but can you make it through an entire season doing that? As impressive as it was that they revamped the offense to fit Cam Newton. So it's not the Patriots. The Steelers would probably be the next team that I thought looked really impressive, but it's just, can Big Ben and with that offensive line and some
their
of the
defense
injuries.
Defense is legit, though.
Defense,
man.
Minka Fitzpatrick obviously came over midseason last year, and that defensive line is certainly legit. But what? There's nobody else that scares me if I'm Kansas City.
I posed the question on Twitter. If you had, let's say, $500, I'll ask you, all of you, if you could take just the Chiefs and Ravens or the field. So you get the Chiefs and the Ravens.
I just need
or the
Chiefs.
Field. Who are you taking?
I'm just taking the Chiefs.
Well, we know that that's why they're not losing a game.
One of them, probably the Chiefs, but one of them will probably be in the Super Bowl, and I would favor them in the Super Bowl. Would you put money on just Chiefs and Ravens or the field?
Well, if you're giving me Chiefs and Ravens, I'm taking the Chiefs and the Ravens. Yeah, if you're just giving me the Chiefs, I feel like I almost have to take the field in that scenario.
Anti-Chiefer. Anti-Chiefer. You got it.
If you're giving me the Chiefs and the Ravens, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I'll take that one. I'll take Chiefs and Jags, probably.
Yeah, Chiefs and Jags for the field. That's good,
Alex got anti-Chiefs.
I did.
You package somebody with the Chiefs, I'd probably die probably.
The Chiefs and KU. Take the Chiefs and KU over the field right now.
Too crazy there. Andy Reid has dominated the AFC West. Fesco and Ryan have a bet going on that Fesco says the Chiefs will not lose more than five games against the division over the next 5 years. Ryan is taking the other side of that one because he's the I thought you'd be ready on this one for sure.
He turned my computer down. Josh,
who's got control now?
Anti-Chiefer.
That's right.
Anti-Chiefer.
Where do you guys stand on that? 27-3 over the last 5 years against the AFC West, and a good portion of that without Patrick.
Be careful what you say.
I think initially when you hear it, you're like, oh, there's no way that's going to happen. But no, I would actually side with Fesco on this one. If you think about, you just told me the record over the last couple of years, and then knowing what Kansas City still has with Mahomes and Andy Reid's not
and
going anywhere
what
anytime.
This division is
who's
about
the quarterbacks?
Right now too.
Did you see enough from Drew Lock to think he's going to scare you for the next 4 years?
I like his potential, but I don't know if I'd be saying that if he wasn't from the area.
I remember when you guys first talked about this. I hit you up on Twitter. You're 100% right, Bob, because Andy Reid has won nine.
You don't
out
need to say anything else.
He's won 9 out of 10 against every team in this division, and he's won 11 the last 12 against the Chargers. Think about that. 9 of the last 10. This guy doesn't lose against. He's not going to lose any road games this year because he's got the mini bye and the bye before every AFC
mini
West
bye.
Game.
Yeah, the AFC West got to be all ticks.
Right. He does. He got the mini buys and buys.
He's got so much time ahead of them.
I fully understand what the last 5 years have been for the Chiefs against the AFC West. Basically, Bob's saying they're going to replicate that again for another 5 years.
And
that's
they
a
did
10-year
most of those
stretch.
With Alex Smith.
I mean, a 10-year stretch against a division that at the time was horrible and I think is getting better. So I think the division's getting better, and I think it's just not. It's possible to happen. I don't think it's probable to happen. There it is. I brought it back.
It is indeed back. I don't know where the rest of the West is in terms of closing the gap. That's kind of where I stand on it. I think Drew Lock maybe in Denver. I think once they get to Justin Herbert.
I haven't even seen him.
We don't even know what he's going to be.
You don't know. He might
Broncos
not
good. Still a head coach good. Away.
The
Broncos still a
head are a head coach away. There's no doubt. And I think the Oakland Raiders may be a coach and a quarterback away.
I think they're just a quarterback away, not the coach. But definitely, I mean, Drew Locke's on a second offensive coordinator in 2 years.
Yeah.
It was the same way in Missouri with Drew Locke. He was keep going through coordinators.
You can't win in the NFL second. If you continue to change your coordinator and your coach. Just can't do it.
They're going to give him that shaggy-haired guy that he had at Mizzou?
Eberflus?
No, he didn't take him. But remember,
Yost? Was that Yost?
No, he managed the Royals.
I know he did. Who is the shaggy-haired offensive coordinator at Missouri?
I think his name was Eberflus, wasn't it?
I thought his name was David Yost.
Yeah, I think it was. Right? It was Yost. Shaggy hair.
Shaggy hair guy. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I just don't think that anybody's closed the gap enough that I've seen they're going to be, look out, somebody's in your rear view. I don't think
there is.
I
can't even tell you
who
the second best quarterback in this division is.
He is Jay Binkley. He will be along with the post-game show following the game on Sunday. Thanks, Bink. Alex Gold, Cody and Gold, what's coming up on the show today?
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and what McCola had to say, the Chiefs running back coach, a little bit about their goal line issues. You guys see on the ESPN, the headline was Chiefs are concerned about Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the goal line. I think that's an overreaction. They're not concerned.
There's a lot of made-up headlines yesterday about this organization that just infuriate me. You know, these stupid headline writers, they just want you to click on their stuff. COVID outbreak at Arrowhead. There was one person in a crowd of 15,000.
My God.
And they were apparently stalking him around the stadium, so they knew exactly where this dude was.
Right, yeah.
They had video on. They were prepared.
To their credit, they were very prepared. That is our Chiefs roundtable. Alex and Bink sitting in with us today, brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. What we learned and one future thing to think about next.
He's a competitive prick.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We hope you have a chance to listen all week long. We have a fantastic lineup of Chiefs guests right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Derek Johnson joins us Mondays at 7:30. Danan Hughes, Chiefs color analyst, joins us every Monday at 8:30. Joe Mays, former linebacker, joins us 8:15 on Wednesdays. Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, Thursdays at 8:30. Brandon Flowers, a great new addition to our lineup. Brandon Flowers joins us 6:45 on Fridays, and Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, 7:30 on a Friday, amongst others.
He's okay.
Wow. But we hope you listen to each and every hour of the show. You can always catch up, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. But we get it. Might not always have 20 hours a week to just devote to us. Wish you would.
Wish you would, yeah.
I wish I could.
Fesco's biggest fan is one Billy Coons. He does listen to all 20 hours of the show each and every week, and he recaps it with a little segment we like to call What We Learned, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow.
Hello, this is Billy Coons, and this is what we learned on Fesco in the Morning for this week. On Monday, the guys recap the NFL games on Sunday, and legend Bob ripped the Cleveland Browns for their pathetic performance at the Baltimore Ravens, losing 38-6. And legend Bob, he's an expert on the cereal Captain Crunch deep. And Bob and Josh ripped the three Big 12 schools that lost to the Sun Belt Conference, Iowa State, Kansas State, and Kansas. And legend Bob says Kansas should drop its football program because it's been dreadful to watch and pathetic for the last 11 years. And former Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Derek Johnson joined the show to discuss the Chiefs offense that's going to be hard to stop. And former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Danan Hughes joined the show to recap the Chiefs' win last Thursday versus the Texans and how dynamic the Chiefs' offense is. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh spoke about kickers struggling during the first week of the NFL, except for Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker. And legend Bob and brother Ryan, they're experts on different kinds of beers to drink. And Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride joined the show to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Bob and Josh discussed, will the Royals trade Whit Merrifield and Hunter Dozier since their contracts end in 1 to 2 years? On Wednesday, we learned Danny Duffy accidentally missed his flight with his teammates to Detroit and apologized for it. And the guy spoke about how the Kansas City Chiefs have no weaknesses, and brother Ryan called out legend Bob for saying the Chiefs will go 192-0 now since they signed Mahomes to a 12-year deal. And Royals manager Mike Matheny also joined the show to talk about the Danny Duffy situation and how the Royals need to be better at situational hitting. On Thursday, Shannon Taran, the sideline reporter for the L.A. Chargers, joined the show to preview the Chiefs and Chargers in L.A. on Sunday. And the guys celebrated Pat Mahomes' 25th birthday all morning on the show. And also, Bob and Josh talked about ESPN ranking the best stadiums in tailgating in NFL, and Arrowhead was ranked third, and legend Bob was very upset and says Arrowhead should be number one. It's a great week to listen to legend Bob, also known as Honest Bob, brother Ryan, and I with Josh. Talk to you later.
So see, Billy listens all week.
It's been a while since we got an Honest Bob.
That's a good. That is good. Good recap of the week.
Expert on Captain Crunch.
What were we both experts on, Ryan?
I wasn't an expert on anything.
He said legend week. Bob and brother Ryan are both experts on, and then you talked in my ear, and I didn't hear what we were experts on.
Yeah, replay it.
Yeah, can you replay it?
I'll figure it out.
Middle of the deal.
Shannon Farron.
Farron. Yeah.
Well, that's all right. That's tough.
Oh, it's top notch.
Thanks, Shannon. I appreciate you joining
Taran.
Us this week. Shannon
Taran.
Well, it's similar. It's similar.
Farron. She was the one that's. We asked, how do you think this weekend's going to go?
She's not like, good.
Not well.
Not
she
good.
Said. Sideline report for the Chargers. How's it going to go? Not well.
Not well.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. You got the confidence.
This is something that's a little bit further down the road, but I thought an interesting comment earlier this morning with us from Brandon Flowers.
And legend Bob and brother Ryan, they're experts on different kinds of beers to drink.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
we were discussing with Brandon Flowers. You asked him about Dynasty, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, what would preclude them from being a Dynasty? And he actually had an interesting answer that I had not thought about. What could stop the Chiefs from being a Dynasty?
The only thing that can stop the Kansas City Chiefs from not becoming a Dynasty is their defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo, getting a head coach job somewhere. And they have to find a different defensive coordinator to come in. And that's tough because every time a defensive coordinator comes in, the guys must fit their system. And I know Veach and Andy Reid would try to bring a guy in that the players currently on the roster kind of fits their scheme, but still, that's when terminology come into effect. And the defensive coordinator still is not going to call the game just like Spagnuolo. So you have to get as many championships in right now when Spags is your coach on your roster because teams are going to try to snatch him away. Even if they don't feel like they want a defensive coach to be their head coach on their franchise, they just know the Chiefs can't be beat with Andy Reid and Spags on the same sideline. So if Spags go away, then you'll see some of the games, you know, coming to the wire and they feel like how Sutton let them down at the end of the games, you know, whoever fault it was, you'll just have those occasions start to pop up and that can affect a dynasty being built in Kansas City.
One part of that was really funny. Like, teams like, you know, the only way we stopped the Chiefs, I mean, we don't really want a defensive head coach.
But we're going to take him so the Chiefs don't have him anymore.
Could you imagine if that was a franchise? Oh, my goodness.
So what was the number one reason you hired Steve Spagnuolo? So we're tired of the Chiefs being good.
Just so it wouldn't be with the Chiefs.
Because, I mean, but if you look at it, like, if you hire Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, well, Andy Reid is still here.
You still have Andy Reid, right? Yeah.
But if you hire Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, now you have to hire a new defensive coordinator who could have a new scheme, who could have a new system, and you probably hurt the Chiefs more as an organization by taking their defensive coordinator away than taking away the offensive coordinator because we all know that Andy Reid, as long as he's here, it's going to be his offense.
That was pretty classic.
So I never really thought of it that way, but I think Brandon Flowers brings up a really good point. Changing the defense at this point in time to a different defensive coordinator with a different system would be something that could set this team back.
Andy Reid now has to be less good at getting, you know, his tree hired.
I wonder if Spags is going to get another opportunity to be a head coach
or wants one. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe you want to say, oh, I didn't have the success I thought I was going to have before. Mm-hmm. Let me try this again. I want to. Or you may just be like, I'm in a great spot. I wish more people or more coaches would be in the line of, I'm a really good coordinator, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be the head coach,
right?
Like I'm super good at my job. So I'm good at my job. I don't need to have somebody else's job.
Right.
I think there are plenty of good coordinators that don't make, you know, good coaches. And there are coaches who, you know, I'd maybe rather not have coordinating. Like that's a good overseer. That's a good leader of overall leader.
I was glad Dick Vermeil had Al Saunders to call the plays, you know,
but if you're a really good coordinator, maybe you're not the overall guy, but you're a really good coordinator. Stay there.
Yeah. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, it's the ego thing. It's, you know, the drive, the competitiveness, why they got into professional sports. They ultimately want to be that head coach. But again, ask yourself this question, and I'll continue to tell that for folks who wonder if Eric Bieniemy is ever going to get a job. Would you rather be the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs or the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
How much are they paying me?
would you rather be the defensive coordinator with the Chiefs or the head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
How much are you going to pay?
How much you paying?
I mean, but guys don't think like that, I don't think, in the NFL. They're not like us where you take the money and run. No, they're not. Guys like that, no. That's not the first thing they ask.
They look forward to the challenge.
Oh, sorry. Can I go there and win?
You were being serious.
Do I want to lead my own program?
Yeah. Can I go implement my own program with this owner? Can I win? Will I be given the resources to go out there and have success by the organization? If I'm not going to get the resources by the organization to go out there and have success, I'll stay with the Chiefs where we have everything that we need.
All right, what's your score for
Edwards and Lair?
Score for Sunday?
I'll go 30-20, Chiefs.
30-20 by 10. I like 31-17, Chiefs.
I like a 7-point ball game, so make up whatever number you like.
You're going to go close.
anti-cheaper.
32-25.
All right. I'll join Mitch and Dana for the broadcast on 106.5 The Wolf on Sunday for the 3:25 kickoff. And we'll be back with you on Monday morning. Cody and Gold, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
I watch a lot of football, guys. Every week, hours of it. I take notes on every game.
We're done.
And
I gotta go. Bye.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.